August 23, 1981, Reverend Stanley, the pastor of the Olivet Baptist Church, located at 976 East Jefferson Boulevard in the city of Los Angeles. For those of you that want to write, it's 90011. That's our zip code. For those of you that want to come, our morning worship services start at 11 o'clock. Back on August 23, 1981, Reverend Stanley preached a sermon entitled Self-Exertion, where he spoke about how one exerts himself and how the Holy Spirit can exert himself. And he brought this message taken from Luke chapter 13, verses 23 and 24. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. That's that self-exertion. Many will try to enter in. You can't get to heaven under your own strength. God bless you. I trust that you enjoyed the sermon as I do. You know, just looking back, because right now at the time that I'm making this lead track, it's, what is it, July 1983. And so it's been well over 2 years since the pastor preached his sermon, but it's always a joy to listen to it again. I'd like to tell you this. The lead tracks may be updated, because from time to time we have some new things that we want to say to you. All right? We're looking forward now to the 1984 Olympics, and maybe by the time you get this tape, it'll be 1988, huh? Or the Lord will have come. Ah, what a joy. Hey, let's get right on into self-exertion. God bless you.
I'd like to call your attention to the Scripture. And I pray God will give me physical strength to get through this. In Luke chapter 13, verses 23 and 4. Then said the one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. You strive to enter in at the strait gate. Jesus said, For I say unto you, many shall strive to enter in, and then seek to enter in, and they won't be able. Have you noticed how peculiar the answer to the man's question might sound? He said, Master, are there few that be saved? You know, you would expect somebody to answer with reference to few or many or what can be saved. But you notice Jesus' answer? Jesus didn't say to him, he said, and he had said to them all around him, strive to enter in at the street gate. He said, I say unto you, many shall seek with him and won't be able. Well, now, I know that this sort of thing is for the study. But I want to mention it anyway. You know, in the Greek language in which this was originally written or spoken, and translated into English, the verbs, the ending, tells you whether it's I, ye, they, ye. And that is the Greek word. We would put a capital I in front of it and then spell say. It's a one word, but the ending It's an omega, you would say an O at the end of it. I say, every day one little word say, echo. I say. But you know, you could say, I say, hello. I say, come here, something like that. But here, this is a double compound. Jesus said, but I say. Echo, echo. I see, that's for the study. But I was going to bring it out here. And when it was written like that, spoken like that, it means not just something that anybody say. You could be repeating what somebody else said. But this is spoken and written in that particular form to express authority on the part of the person speaking. You know, like we could kind of do up in the neck and say, but I say, trying to express our authority about our action, but I say, that don't mean anything, does it? But we try like that, you know, crown up and everything to show our authority. Jesus said it in words. That's cool, let go. It's all right what the other people say, but I say. You know, he said, you've heard what is said of them of old. Love your friends. Love them that love you. You've heard them say of old, hate your enemy. But then he come back with that little wiggle. But I say unto you, love them that hate you. In other words, you erase what the others have said and write this on the universal walls of your memory. Time forever. Jesus is talking this morning. And when Jesus talks, I listen. And I pray God this morning that I'm on speaking terms with my Father. Some people don't speak, you know. Some people don't speak to God. But I'm not only on speaking terms, I'm on listening terms. Listen to him again. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. But I'm telling you something. Many are going to try to get in at a time when it's going to be too late. And I'd like to just use this subject. Self-exertion. You know, you got to exert yourself. I hope next Sunday and the Sunday after, God willing, to just use one word for each subject. One will be reality, and the next subject will be zeal. You be thinking about those. But I want you to know that Jesus didn't answer that man along the lines that he had questioned him. But Jesus, knowing the hearts of men, knew what that question had sparked in the minds and hearts of all of those around him. And he knew what they were thinking. And he was answering according to the need. They didn't need to know whether there are few or many being saved. So what? What about you? You strive. Whoever this person was, we don't know. And whatever his motive was, we are not even told that. He cannot be sure who was, nor why he asked the question. But the one thing is very clear, and that is the vast importance of the answer that Jesus gave. It is not important to me who he was. It is not important to me why he asked it. But it is very important to me, and I hope to you. It better be. The question, the answer, Jesus gave to the questioner. They were wondering it in their own hearts and minds. You know, Jesus knows what's in your heart. And that's an important thing. And for the next few minutes this morning, I desire to call your sincere attention to the solemn lessons which this saying of Jesus meant to teach. Jesus didn't say something just to be saying it. He never spoke arbitrarily. He didn't speak maliciously. He didn't speak in a humorous way. He spoke, and all of his sayings had a meaning. He taught and he preached with meaning. And so, what he said this morning was some lessons were meant to be taught and meant to be learned. Jesus is saying, teaches unmistakably our own responsibility for the salvation of our souls. Nobody else is responsible for the salvation of you souls. Your mama cannot be responsible. Neither your father. The preacher is not responsible for your soul's salvation. One thing he certainly is responsible for is to bring the gospel to enlighten your conscience. He's responsible to God for what he preaches. But this lesson teaches us that every man is responsible for the salvation of his own soul. There's no need of trying to lay it on somebody else if you lose your soul. No need of trying to blame somebody else, and some fools will go so far as to blame God. But if you lose your own soul, you have nobody to blame but yourself. And another thing it shows is that there is danger in putting off one's salvation. Now is the day of salvation. Didn't he say that? And then he said that since you don't know the day, now the hour, the Son of Man cometh, be you also ready. Ready is a word that means prepared. You be prepared, for since you don't know when he's coming. A lot of people are putting off their soul, their salvation, for another time. Well, Felix said, for a convenient season. I hear you. Now, here are three things I want you to look at this morning in this sermon. I will give them to you and come back and try to touch them a little. And the first thing we have here is a description of the way of salvation. Jesus gave a description. And the second thing is a plain command. Jesus gave some commands, didn't he? And he said, they are not grievous to be borne. And then the third and last thing I'd like to show you that is here is an awful prophecy. Brother, that prophecy is awful. These three things I want to touch briefly as I can, and maybe as quietly as I can. I'm sure you realize I don't feel up to this job. I'm going to stay on it until I drop. I'm not going by feeling. Stop a while and rest. Keep your eye forward. We'll press on. The pressing days are done. Somebody said to me this morning when I came in, I could hardly breathe. And they said, well, sit down and rest. You know, it's late. We want to get started here with our worship service. And then I said, there remains the rest for the children of God. Oh, I know I have to rest here. I'm not crazy, you know. Well, maybe not all the way. Somebody said that one out of every four people are unbalanced. One out of every four. Well, now, you and three of your friends get together. And you look them over. And if they seem to be all right, then you are in trouble. So, Jack, that's why I said maybe I'm not all the way. You look all right. You look all right. You look all right. Maybe I'm in trouble. I want you to start with the first point that I want to emphasize this morning. That we see here is a description of the way of salvation. And Jesus called it the straight gate. Enter in at the straight gate. You know the word straight and then narrow? They all come from the same root. You remember the hour in Matthew 7? Straight is the way, gate, and narrow is the way. A few there be that enter in thereat. The broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be. Now, when he said the straight gate, he meant that there is a way that is restrained. It's narrow. It's not easily entered. It's easy to be saved. But you know, people want to enter as they are. But you can do that, brother. Some people want to enter in and still be in love with the crowds. It's too restrained for that kind of thing. A lot of people want to enter in and hold on to their present sins. But the way of salvation is too restrained for any sin. A lot of people want to enter in without any change having taken place. It's too restrained for that. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are what? Passed away. All things come new. He's a new man. So it's too restrained for the old man and the new man. It is a gate which leads to pardon. It leads to peace with God, and it leads to heaven. That's how Jesus described it. It's restrained. And you know, a lot of people, well, just do almost anything indiscriminately, you know. But you can't do this like that. You've got to come that restrained way. A lot of people want to be saved, but leave me alone. That's man's way, isn't it? People want to be singing the blues and on Sunday sing Amazing Grace. The way of salvation is too restrained for a mixture of the world and what is Christ like. You know, man is a fallen creature. I made you know that. But I'm reminding you of it. Man is a fallen creature. He's separated from God by sin. Fell in the Garden of Eden, and all of his posterity inherited that nature. And then David showed you how that nature is within man when he said, in sin did my mother conceive me. I was born in sin, shapen in iniquity. But you know, David also said that he took my feet out of miry clay. He planted them on a solid rock. Now that's salvation. But man is inherently sinful. The prophet said that the man's heart is deceitful above all things. Amen, brother, that's right. And desperately wicked. Then he asked the question, who can know it? But God answered him, didn't he? Ah! Father, we. That's who knows it. So I don't care how you try to camouflage who you are. God sees behind it. I don't care what kind of mask you put on Sunday. God is looking at you from Sunday to Sunday. He knows your heart. But now, since man is separated from God by sin, since there is a mountain between God and man, how can he climb over it? There was a wall, a partition between God and man. How can he go through it? Thank God there's a way. I do thank God there's a way. Well, how are man and God going to be brought together? There's a way. There's a rule. There's a door. And all of that is the same as a gate that is restrained. This gate was made for sinners. It wasn't made for saints. Because you become a saint after having entered therein. But that gate was made for sinners. Way back yonder in the archives of glory. He had predetermined that he's going to make himself a gate. Sacrifices and offerings, thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Lo, I come, he says, in the volume of the book. Because he said it's written of him, didn't he? And then he goes on to say he made him just a little lower than the angels, and this is what he made him for. For suffering the death. And he is that way, that door, or that gate that is so descriptive of man's salvation. So it was made for sinners, and he made it like nobody else could make it. He made it with his own sacrifice on Calvary. That's how he made that gate. He made it with his own atoning death on Calvary. And through that death, he made satisfaction for man's sin. That's how man can not go over that mountain, but have it moved. You don't have to try to go through the wall that separated him. Jesus moved that wall. You don't have to try to devise a way. Jesus made the way. When he met man's sin head on Calvary and said, "It is finished," the gate sprung up. Then I say, he made a door. That's how he described it in another place. A door that all may enter into the presence of God. And then he spoke about a road. He said, "I'm the way." Way there. It means road. I am the way. I am that means that you have to travel if you want to get to the throne. because no man can come to the Father but by me. That's why he said, I am the way. I am the road. I am that entrance to. You know, it's not like somebody passed a country road, got over the highway and didn't know how to get back. Passed by an old farmer's house. When he saw him, he said, say, mister, where does this road go? He said, well, I've never seen it go anywhere. I've been here 40 years and it's still here. Well, he wasn't talking about the road moving. You know what he meant. Where does this road lead one to? And that's what Jesus is saying. When he said, I'm a road, I'm a way. I am the one that will lead you to that eternal home. And then I'd like to hear him talk about it. When he said one day, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. When he said be, that made it very definite, didn't it? Not just any door, not one among many doors. I am the door. And if any man enter in by me, he shall be saved. Don't try to get that no other way. Then old Paul said this to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 3. He said, beloved, by him we have boldness and access with confidence. I can go to him with confidence this morning. It's you. I can go to him and ask him for what I need, for what I want in keeping with his will. I better say something about that. You know, people take the scripture out of its context. And if any little thing he wants, because the scripture says whatever you want, ask. But if that didn't mean to whatever I want, my good days of life, I may want a steamship. And I asked God to give me a steamship because I want it. Well, they should throw that steam in my face. But he goes on further to tell us, if we ask how, according to his will. That's it. Not just anything I want. I may want two or three Mercedes Benz. I want them. So God says, what do you want to ask for? Too bad that people are led by such idiots as those who use God for a crutch and don't go on and tell them what God's talking about. And when John got old and wrote that epistle, he told them that, didn't he? He said, if you ask, according to his will, didn't it? Jesus said, Father, let this cup pass. Didn't he? That's what he wanted. Let it pass. But he got no answer along that line. And he went back again and asked. But then he said, if it's not your will, I'll drink it up. You can believe the Bible if you want to, or you can believe somebody else. That's your business. But you better quit messing around with your soul salvation and accept Christ's way. It is called a straight gate because it is a compressed train. You see, when something is compressed, it is kind of mashed together there, isn't it? Kind of made small. I remember in Texas they had those cotton compressors. There'd be those 500 bales, a pound bale of cotton out there. And they put that thing down there in the compress. It looked like it didn't weigh but 100 pounds. It was so brought together, compressed into a small package. But if that same bale of cotton, it didn't look like itself by size. So here it's straight because it's compressed. You don't find them running in here like wild horses. You don't find them running over each other trying to get into this gate. Because the crowds will be going in so fast. A traveler, now and then. Well, a lot of people think because there's a great big crowd that it must be right. That is just the opposite of what the scripture talks about. They must be right. Look how many people are there. But then you start looking at how many people that are there and start looking at those people individually and you find out that maybe he got no business there. Or maybe that's where we ought to be, huh? Well, now I want you to notice it's a compressed way in this respect. That gate never changes. You know, see, God doesn't change his requirements for you. God's requirements are the same. No man will ever get into the kingdom except he's born again. And then when something is compressed, it's not elastic. No, you can take something that's elastic and kind of stretch it and get it over a pretty good sized object. Or get a much larger object in there. Take a rubber band. Take these garters, you know about them. They're a round, small thing. But you can stretch that elastic to fit a larger object. But this gate that Jesus talks about that's required for entrance to the kingdom of heaven is a compressed standard thing that does not change and has no elasticity about it whatever. It will not stretch to meet your requirements nor mine. It remains the same. Thank God for that. You know what he told Nicodemus over 1900 years ago? That's the same requirement this morning. Then unless a man is born again, he won't even see the kingdom of God. It is not only the one way by which man can get to heaven. It is not only just that one way. There will never be another way. There will never be another way to replace this. Because he said, I'm alive forevermore. He'll be there. And my desire this morning is to see you in there. I hope everybody here will be able to say, one day, thank God, I made it in. Thank God I'm in before the gate shut. And then, you know the day men are looking right and left, trying to find a way. Men are bringing about their own devices. Men are trying to hatch up new ways to get in. We have these new thing of religions. Some that do not teach self-denial. Lord Jesus said to the man, unless he deny himself, take up his cross and follow me daily, he cannot be my disciple. And you know if he's not Jesus' disciple, he's not his son. If he's not his son, he's not going to get to heaven. But there are religions teaching you don't have to deny yourself of anything. There are religions that are teaching there's no reality in sickness. Well, I think you heard the sermon here Sunday before last on that. And those of you who didn't hear, there's some tapes around here somewhere. They can play it for you. You maybe you find out there that you do good shit. And these sick minds is going around telling people that their bodies are not going to get sick. Maybe one day his body will catch up with his sick mind. And they'll show you what sickness really is. I'm not saying this in an evil connotation. I'm not saying it at all to be evil. But I hope to God he does get sick. And I hope to God I see it. Not to say I told you so, but maybe a bunch of these idiots, instead of bowing their heads and clapping their hands, will get on their knees and go to God in repentance. And then I want you to know something else about it. You can be looking right or left. You can try to devise man's own schemes, but you'll never find any other way. There's no side door to this business. There is no back door to get in. And you know, a lot of times, some of you may not know anything about this. A lot of times people have been going around on the fence in the country looking for a gate. They don't see a gate, but they see a gap where somebody's been going in, you know that. And then you keep the man's cattle from getting out, and you go in, you just close the gap back. But there is no gap in this gate. There is no way that you can get in by using a bypass. You know, when I was in the Army, and we was on the movers up north, we were on certain highways, and they gave the order and said, we're not going the highway, we are going the bypass. You know, you bypass the highway, but you get to the same place. But I want to tell you something, too. I don't care how you maneuver, there is no bypass to this gate. You got to come straight to the gate. Now, you can't bypass Jesus. Any religion that leaves Jesus out of the center is not going to get anybody to heaven, thank God Almighty. And then I want you to come to another thing. This straight gate is ever ready to be open. I don't care who you are, how vile a sinner you are. I don't care how ineligible men might think you are. I don't care how unworthy people say you might be. Nobody, even the vilest drunk on earth, the worst prostitute in town, the biggest gambler you'll ever find anywhere, I don't care who he is, he's not forbidden to enter that gate. He's not one of those things that have a sign, no, not you. I don't care who you are and how low you have sunk. You are not forbidden to approach that gate. Jesus came and said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, if he was going to be picky and choosy, he'd have skipped all over me, Rabbi. I've been on the outside the gate now, trying to peep in. But thank be to God, he took me as I was, and then made me what he wanted me to be. You know, when Jesus takes you as you are, he didn't leave you like you are, but he puts a new man on the inside. That new man got to learn how to walk a new way. And I want to tell you one thing, children, when you strike out and follow Jesus, he'll show you how to walk. Or as he will. You know, I told you the other day, I don't care if you're on the right track, you'll get run over if you just sit there. Believing in the righteousness. But with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. I don't care who you are, men may not want you in that church. You know, some of these highfalutin churches? Well, I couldn't paint the wall out there. They wouldn't want me in there because I'm nobody. I'm nothing, so they wouldn't want me there. Maybe they wouldn't want you there. And they'd get a committee to question you as to why you want to join this church. Well, then you better get a committee to find out why in the world did you have this church. I'll tell you one thing, children. Jesus said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast him out. Or that woman that will live the vicious, adulterous life, And old self-righteous man looking at her as if he knew what kind of woman she was, he wouldn't let her do that. Jesus knew. That's why he let her do it. Jesus looked at your heart. That's who he came for. And he said on one occasion, I didn't come to call the righteous to repentance. I didn't come to call those who were sick or well. I come to get those boys who were sick. That's what he's talking about. I'm using my vernacular when I say that. That's not a scriptural quotation. Because he didn't say boys, but I'm using the vernacular. So you know what I'm talking about. Many have entered in, children, and been saved. I think about old Saul the Pharisee. Oh, he was a grievous sinner. He was blaspheming against the work of God. He labored all he knew how to stop the progress of the gospel. But when old Paul had his mind enlightened and his heart enlarged, he ran up to that gate, and immediately the gate swung open and let old Paul in. Paul, he told Paul, now you go down yonder to the Damascus, and somebody be down there to show you what I want you to do. Then I'm thinking about another man, that old jailer down there at Philippi. He was a tough man, Jack. Oh, he was a godless creature. He was a man who did not have any love in his heart for God, neither did he have any love in his heart for God's creature. He was a bad man. He was cruel. Did all he could against Paul and his companions. But I want to tell you, when they got singing the songs of Zion in their vision, one began to pray with the fervency of a heart set on fire by the Holy Ghost. The earth began to shake like a drunken man. That jail began to reel and rock. All of the bonds came off of the people who was in prison in there. And that old man's conscience was awakened. And old Paul began to teach him and enlarge his mind, open up his understanding. He ran to the gate. The gate flew open and let him come in. He went on and took old Paul and bathed him up. When he'd been beaten up on him, he turned around and sort of bathed it up on him. You see, that's what God will do for you when he changes your heart. That's what Jesus can say, love your enemies. And I'm thinking about all of those people there who were guilty of the Lord's death. They delivered Jesus up to Pilate. Pilate said, I got somebody here I want to release. I want to release to you Jesus if you want him. We don't want him. We want Barabbas. Let us have that thief. They did that because they rejected Jesus and refused to accept him as Savior and Lord. But I hear old Paul Peter and the rest of the old disciples there preaching and teaching now on Pentecost. Many of those same people who delivered him up to a cruel and ignominious death, you were pierced in their heart and said, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? Peter gave them the requirement. When they knocked on the gate to an inquiry, he said, repent, believe, be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. They ran to the gate, and the gate opened wide and took them in. The very ones who said, kill him, turned right around and saved him. Isn't that a beautiful picture? And then there are others I will not take time to go into, but I don't have to stop in the Bible. I can look around in this crowd this morning. I can see somebody went to the gate, knocked on the gate, and he opened up. And he's sitting here this morning as a saved person. You know you're saved if you're here. Well, I thank God I went to the gate. I saw myself as a sinner. I saw myself going the wrong way. And I couldn't save myself. I tried to do good. I tried to do better, but that wasn't enough. Nothing I could do, but I heard a song that went straight to my heart. In my hand, no price I bring. Simply, to the cross I cling. When I went to Jesus, then the door flung wide open. I came to Jesus, and I drank. Let life give me food. That's it. But now I got to heaven. He said, strive to enter in. You know what that means this morning? In the center here, I want you to really get it. Strive does not mean wait. It does not mean wish. It does not mean desire. It does not mean hope. It does not mean to put it off. Strive means to get busy. Means to be active. Strive means to press on. It means to use self-exertion. That's the subject, you know. You got to exert yourself. When you strive, you got to contend. You know, you got to contend against the enemy. I don't care what you say, the devil don't want you to say. He's not going to tell you to go out trying to imitate Ahab and Jezebel. He's not going to tell you to go out there and imitate Belshazzar, who sat on the throne, got drunk, and saw the handwriting on the wall. He's not going to go out and tell you to brazenly act like that. But he'll have you to understand that go to church every Sunday, but just sit there and don't do nothing. You know, that's the only way that you go into hell anyway, is to do nothing. That's the only thing you have to do, to go to hell, to do nothing. But you got to do something if you're in a skin hell. If you don't want to end up there. You see, somebody said one time that the knowledge of hell is going to come too late for a whole lot of people. But I want you to know, you got to repent. You got to come. You got to labor. You got to seek. And you got to act. And you got to knock. But you're going to have somebody trying to keep your hand from knocking. Oh, Satan don't want you saved this morning. If you're here lost, he doesn't want you saved. And you start knocking at the door with a heart of repentance, he's going to try to hold you back to keep you from it. Because he doesn't want you to be saved. It's all right to come sit here, but as I say, do nothing. And you'll end up in hell, so help me. But he doesn't want you to do anything about your own soul salvation. I can't do it. Nobody else can do it. You got to do it yourself. And when you do, the gate will slay open, and you walk in. Somebody sang the song with them all the years. Keep on toiling. Toiling. It is sorrow. Watchfully and patiently waiting till my Savior come again. And when the gate swing open, I walk in. Children, if you're here this morning and don't know him, you listen as I mentioned these other, this last point. And you know I skip here because I want to try to conclude this with as less effort as I possibly can because of my physical condition. But that third thing here, that awful prophecy that I want to take this moment, that awful prophecy, Jesus prophesied this, many shall seek to enter in and shall not be able.